Well, as we started the meeting, I repeat, here I am, Lord. I am listening. And God has a dream word for you. A word connected with his dream. And it's really, and this season is really unpacking this word from God over the year. That it's time to look up, it's time to dream again, to look to Jesus and to receive afresh his vision and his plan and his dream for us. So that actually we reimagine every area of life as he sees it. Reimagine every area of life and every area of other people's lives that aren't even saved yet. That we begin to step out of what we see in the daily grind. And we start to see as God sees. And begin to see with his amazing dream. For all of us and for all humanity, actually. The way that God's dream comes to us doesn't really matter how it does. It just matters that it does. And scripture is clear. There are clear ways. You kind of don't get God's dream watching TV. you get a dream from God through his word. His word creates images and pictures in your heart so that you're able to see as God sees. And we also desperately need the life of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the one who declares those words of Jesus to us. In other words, speaks them so that faith comes, so that sight comes, so that we're able to see and hear in our hearts what God is saying, so that we have his dream living on the inside. There's a scripture, I think it's in 2 Corinthians, that God says he wants to write through the Spirit, not on a tablet of stone, but he wants to write his word on our hearts so that we see as he sees. But the Holy Spirit is also to speak to us, and it's to be the experience of all of us in dreams and visions. In the last days, God promises, I will pour out my Spirit and you will dream dreams and have visions. And your young men and old and girls and boys and men and women and children, all of you who belong to Christ, are in Christ and filled with the Holy Spirit, will actually see supernaturally, will see by the Spirit. We always remember to safeguard what we're seeing and test it out, because the Spirit will never speak anything that is contradictory to what is written. Actually, the Spirit takes the word, and he kind of, if he gives you a dream and vision, you'll be able to say, actually, that's confirmed in Scripture. It goes along with his will and his purpose. It is written. And Jesus never went outside. It is written. Even though he was filled with the Spirit, he always walked in as the perfect word, the word of God himself. He always walked in truth and walked in the life of the Spirit, but according to truth. I love to think that you and I are called to be visionaries and dreamers. To reimagine, to have an imagination that actually is godly. I'm not talking about an ungodly, selfish thing. I'm talking about something from God. And God speaks, whether it's through his word or the life of the Spirit and his word, however he communicates it to us. What's important is that we're listening, that we're hearing, that we're receiving what God is saying. And this morning, I'm going to speak actually a well-loved verse and the surrounding verses to that verse, that promise, that a lot of you will know by heart, or can I say by head. You will be able to remember this, and some of you may have fridge magnets. Some of you may have post-its with it written on. But you know, the post-it and the fridge won't see the dream happen. It'll happen because you see it on the inside. That what you see written, and it's good to have these words up, but those words need to paint a picture on the inside of you so that you see it in your heart and reimagine life according to what God is saying. And when God speaks, he speaks true dreams. Because there are many dreams out there. They're fake. They're temporary. They will come to nothing, actually. Just like the Tower of Babel, where people imagined that they could build a tower to the heavens. And God said, actually, nothing they plan to do will be impossible. We need to confuse that, because that's a completely man-centered dream. It's not from God. And so, as God's church, we need to line up and come into receiving his dream that is an eternal dream that actually is why you're born, why you're made. You're made to see God's dream happen in and through your life. And the outworking of that dream is unique to each one of us. It doesn't look exactly the same, but we all have the same promises from God. They're all yes and amen, but they'll all work out slightly differently, but into this master plan that God has for his church and the world until Jesus returns. And when God speaks a word to change the way we see ourselves, our future, and our life, he often says it in circumstances that look nothing like a dream and nothing like any vision you would want to lay hold of. And I love the Bible because it often speaks about people in a difficult time or in a situation where they've kind of lost heart that God has a dream for them. And God actually steps in and brings his word into that situation and says something completely different to their living experience at that time. And that's why it's a faith dream. It's a dream that is sure and certain of what we hope for and is based on the evidence of things not yet seen. And so God wants us to be living with his dream that we haven't yet seen happen. Living with a future that looks exactly like God said, but actually there is no evidence around us currently. And that's why God's people are called the household of faith. We are called to walk by faith and not by sight, not by analysis, not by the reality of our days, but by the truth of what God speaks and says that we actually believe is going to be our living reality. So it's not just a dream that won't happen here on earth. It's a dream that will happen on earth and will ultimately be experienced in heaven. But God has a dream for our days on earth. And that's really important, because I think some people don't think faith connects you with a reality of an experience. And we need to be very careful to communicate that if you really do have an imagination, a faith that sees on the inside of your heart from what God says, you will see what he said and experience it. Jesus actually said it's according to your faith that it will be done. It's according to your faith it will be done. That's why God is working on the inside of your heart this morning to bring something into your heart or your spirit. And I'm trusting that's what he's going to do to each one listening this morning. That you'll see something and reimagine so that faith will come, And you will then experience what you're believing. I'll unpack it a bit more, but some of you are going, oh, not really quite understood that. Let's go on, right? In Jeremiah chapter 29, does anybody know which verse I'm going to use? I bet you do. Have you got the fridge magnet? Have you memorized the verse? Some of you who are new maybe haven't, but it's a wonderful promise. And the people of God were in a place called Babylon, in a place they did not want to be. They were dreaming, actually, of not being there. That was their human dream. It was like, I wish I was out. I wish I wasn't here. I don't want to be in this. And they were like saying, well, this is it. There's nothing we can do about it. And in scripture, Babylon actually speaks often about being in the world. And Jesus actually spoke about his disciples that we were to be in the world, but not of it. Because we're completely different. We're sons of God. We have a rich inheritance. We are blessed with every blessing. And we're completely different to the rest of the world. But we're not to be taken out of where he puts us. He wants to send us in. Not to be like them, but to be different and to bring Jesus into the world. You might be in a job you don't like. You might be in a situation that you just wish had never happened. You might look at your circumstance saying, oh, I just want to get out of this. And I want to get out quick. Or I just want this to happen. That would change everything. And what's interesting is that God doesn't change their location. He changes their hearts by speaking a word into their hearts about really their lives and their future and not speaking escapism. Christianity isn't escapism. It's winning and overcoming and experiencing the grace of God to overcome and see God's victory in situations that aren't perfect. Jesus actually said, in this world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. So in other words, Christianity is not the easy option. You know that. But it's a victorious option if you learn to live by faith that will overcome the world and have something in your heart that is so real from God about how he wants it to look, that what's in your heart will then transform your world. And that's why we live from the inside out. That's why what's in your heart and what's written on the inside of your heart matters, because your future is connected with what you see and what you believe on the inside. And what God's been speaking about is, even if you've lost hope and you've lost the dream, God is an expert. He's the master at restoring dreams and resurrecting new ones and bringing back dreams and visions again. Amen. Because he's good. And so these guys were in this, I can't see an end to this, I can't see a future in this, I can't see a way through this. And a word comes from God that completely speaks about what his plan is, that is different to what you're currently in. And it doesn't agree with your senses. Faith is something that isn't revealed to your senses. Touch, feel. We like to feel a lot. That's one of the most dangerous things, is if you don't feel it, it can't be true. That's not right. That's how we used to live before we were born again, and now we live by faith. But if you're waiting for a feeling, you might wait a very, very long time. And if you're waiting to see it first, before you believe it, it might never happen. But Jesus, do you remember what Jesus said to Jairus? When a bad report came about his daughter, Jesus actually said, only believe. Only believe. Isn't that an interesting instruction from Jesus? Only believe. And so, whatever has happened in all of our lives and is currently going on, God says, actually, if you believe what I'm saying, then everything's going to be different in your future. It's based on a sure and certain foundation. And Jesus said, actually, the scripture says that all the promises of God are yes, and it means this one too. So when you read this promise, for you, it's like God is saying, yes, amen, which means so be it. How many of you want to say amen to that? Okay, you're gonna say amen, so be it, to this. You're going to say, so let it be. That's why we say amen. It's an affirmation of, so let it be. I want it to be in my life. Like Mary, let it be to me according to your word. Amen. I say a lot of amens because I know what I'm saying. I'm saying, so be it. And saying something actually confirms your faith. It releases something. And God speaks. And in chapter 29, verse 11, we've got the Amplified version, which I thought you'd like the longer bit. Goes on a bit longer, but it's a good one. For I know the plans and thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for peace and well-being, and not for disaster. To give you, listening, every one of us here, you a future and a hope. So God, actually, one translation says, declares this. It's like a proclamation. I know, God's saying to you, the plans I have for you. Plans for peace and well-being. Imagine that. Well-being is actually connected to wholeness and completeness and a completely abundantly good life, like Jesus said he came to give. I come to give you life, and life in all its fullness, abundant life. They're the plans that God has for you. Plans to prosper you, to do you good, not harm. Now, these guys are listening probably similarly to the way that you and I might be listening this morning, saying, well, certainly doesn't look like it in my life. I haven't experienced that yet. Complete wholeness and well-being in every aspect of life, and it means everything, looking as it is in heaven on earth. I haven't quite got there yet, have you? There are certain things I'd like to see much more of the plan in. And God says, I've got this plan. I've got plans, and they're for good. I love what Acts speaks about Jesus, that he went about doing good. Just for me, I just see Jesus as the perfect expression of the Father. He went about doing people good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil, healing all. That's the plan. Healing all. Can you get the dream? Do you get the dream? Or do you get what you've experienced? Do you get the dream? This is God's dream. This is God's vision. This is his plan. He went about doing good, healing all. All who came to him were healed. And right now in this place, no matter what's going on, God says, I've got a plan. I've got plans, and they're to do you good, and they are going to be for your well-being, to give you a future that is filled with the goodness of God and filled with hope. I say amen. to say amen to that? Amen. So let it be. You can do the English way, you can do the American way, but let it be amen. So be it. So be it. The joy of receiving a word from God like this morning and seeing and reimagining your life according to that promise is that we, even though we can't see it happening around us yet, we know it's going to. We know it's going to. Not it might. For somebody else it might. But it never happens for me. But seeing and accepting this word as, I believe it. I receive it. My future is looking good in God. And something about your whole well-being changes with faith. I've noticed people of faith are cheerful, or I should say joyful, because they have an expectation of good outcome. So they walk around going, ah, well, it looks like that at the moment, but it's going to be good. Everything's subject to change according to what I believe. It's all going to be different from God's report, and I know who I believe. And so you lay hold of what God is saying, even though everything's dark outside. You say, well, I've got light on the inside, and I know what I'm living by. Because man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And God is saying to you this morning, I want you to live by this word. As part of your looking up and dreaming again, this is the word that is going to change the way you see your life and your future. Plans to do you good. Salvation, you know, Jesus, when he died, the way he meant salvation is a lot bigger than you and I think of the word salvation. Sometimes we just limit it to forgiveness of sins and going to heaven and good things, amazing things. I'd follow Jesus just for that. I'd believe in Jesus just for that. But salvation is a much bigger word in the mind of Jesus. It means the wholeness and completeness of life as God intended. Even better than the Garden of Eden, because we are now called sons of God through faith in Christ. We're children of God. We're born again. Salvation is a big word. Say it's a big word. And it's a great thing. And so what Jesus has planned for each one of us in this well-being and wholeness, he already paid for the plan. 2,000 years ago, he paid the costs for us to live in the plan. Up front, all that you'll ever need has been paid for. For God's big word of salvation, total well-being, to prosper you, not harm you, not for calamity. You got to get harm and hurt and bad news out of your heart. That's not the vision for your future. The future is a good future. That's what God is saying. Jesus covered the plan. He met all costs so that we might live in his complete wellness. And it's a promise we're to expect personally. It's not just for the person next to you, because it's your faith that matters. It's personal faith that matters in your particular life and circumstances. God has a plan, and it's to do me good, to give me a hope and a future. And I'm going to see it, believe it, take it, and say, actually, this is God saying it, who never lies. He doesn't bring fake dreams. and visions. He brings the true. This is what I want for you. Now, there is something in the Old Testament, New Testament too, but also in Jewish culture, which is kind of lived out in the faith culture, not in the secular world of the Jews. But they learned it from Joshua. They learned it from Scripture. And that's called meditation. Going over and over again on the same word until that word begins to live in you and become part of you. And that you begin to see life through different sight. That your sight changes into how God sees. And your faith changes from doubt and, well, what if and why, into, I believe this is my future. And the word that they use actually in family life is empowering their children. And I love that. They empower their children and they say things like Deuteronomy 28. They take the word of God. If you listen and obey the voice of the Lord your God, you'll be the head and not the tail, son. How many times do they say it? Son, don't forget, Jesus, God says, you're the head and not the tail. You're the head and not the tail. So they go around going, I'm the head and not the tail. Dad says, God says, God and Dad say. That's good. When God and Dad agree, we've got victory. When Mum and Dad, Father, God agree, we've got victory. So Mum and Dad are saying, you're the head and not the tail, honey. You'll be blessed in the country, blessed in the city. Your storehouse will be blessed. Your produce will be blessed. These kids growing up, blessed mindset. Have you noticed how the Jews prosper? I don't know if you've ever really thought about. There's something on them. And I call it God. Because they put the word in. They put the word out. They speak the word. They empower the next generation with the word. They say, you're the head, not the tail. And they go to school, hopefully not in arrogance, but they go expecting to win. Not set up to fail. And these aren't words to puff up and to, because pride, God opposes the proud. But it's because of God. And it's because of your willingness to follow Jesus, your willingness to obey him for a Jew. But for us to follow him and do what he asks us to do. He says, I've got plans to prosper you and not harm you, to give you a hope and a future. And you know, we need to do some empowering with this word and this dream and vision that God has for each one of us. And God's saying, I want you to empower your own faith and life. Now, the next slide, please. The next thing to do with a promise is actually to empower your faith by saying it and praying it until you see it. Go over and over and over that scripture. Again and again and again. Until that which is written becomes something that you see and believe personally. Say it and pray it until you see it. Now, did you know that faith begins to work the moment you speak? Which is why it's really important not to be a quiet Christian. To internalize everything. It's important to speak the word. Okay? Because faith is released through speaking. And so as you speak and pray and speak over your own heart, your own spirit, what happens is that what you say begins to change your heart into a believing heart, into a heart that sees a different future from the hopeless one you used to see. It starts to change the way you see your unsaved family. You start to take a promise and work with that promise, and then you begin to see. And you pray it and you say it. God, you said. God, you said. God, you said. And you know it it's written in your heart and you're sure and certain it's going to come to pass. And God wants you to be sure and certain of it, so that it actually does happen in your experience. Jesus said, only believe and you will see. You will actually see the experience of it. And that's why your godly imagination is really important, is that you actually think, meditate on God's dreams for you through the words, the promises of God, which are great and precious. In the situation you're in, it's time to start dreaming again. In whatever has happened, it's time to start dreaming again. And it takes some time. It takes me time. I feel sometimes the weather and the conditions are like, you know, the stone plaques on buildings, old buildings. You used to be able to read them really clearly and actually, you know, read what was written on it. Sometimes I think our heart gets so weathered in every storm that it actually seems I can't read it no more. And sometimes the devil writes some graffiti on there. And you know, it's all wrong. It shouldn't be written like that. But God says, I'm going to change it. I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you, not harm you, to give you a hope and a future. Do you receive the plan? Is it rewriting and putting, it's getting written in your heart by the Spirit and the Word so that you can run with it? I know this is a secular story, but I think it works in the things of faith. You'll understand. Walt Disney had a dream. And he had a dream, and that was connected with children and fun parks. And, you know, characters and just creating this world for children. And he was also a great businessman, I might add. He had a friend called Art, and I love this, it's Walt and Art, great names. And a really good friend of his, this guy, Art, and he took Art out one day to some barren land, okay, so to this place outside where nothing was, and he says, come and have a look at this land. And he said, I just want to talk to you about what I see. And Art standing there going, I see nothing but rubbish land. Nobody would want this land. And Walt's going, can you see it? You see, this is going to be in that field and that's going to be there. And I can just describe to you everything that I see. That's how a believer should be. That's how you and I should be. Oh, let me describe what I see, even though it looks empty out there. There's nothing on the ground out there, but I know what I'm seeing. And so Walt kind of gives the vision to Art, and Art's going, glad for you, mate. And he said, no, Art, listen. He was so convinced of what he saw, he said, what you need to do is buy the land next door. And you need to build restaurants and hotels because it's going to be worth millions. And Art went, mate, just don't see it. And Walt built the dream just as he imagined. Art watched him build the dream, watched him become a billionaire, and wished he'd bought the field. Don't live like a watcher. Don't look at barren land and say, this is no good. Live with a dream given by God that this whole thing is going to change. And invest in the place where God is saying, I've got a dream for this. I've got a dream for this. I've got a dream for your work colleagues. I've got a dream for your life, your family, your kids. I've got a dream for your future. This is my dream. Don't be like art that's waiting to see it before you believe it. But live believing, and then you will see. Joshua and Caleb were like that. They imagined the land flowing with milk and honey. Now, for us, milk and honey is a daily, go buy milk, get some honey. But for them, it communicated a bountiful, plentiful, abundant land, which, of course, is the promised land. It's all the life in Christ is abundant. And Joshua and Caleb imagined themselves tasting, seeing, and experiencing and living in that abundance. And they were sent as spies to spy out the land, a bit like Walt and Art. Joshua and Caleb were like Walt. They were going, brilliant, it's so good, you should see the grapes. We need a whole kind of pole to put a cluster of grapes on, and it's hard work to get this bounty back, it's that good. The art section, the kind of those who live by reason, and those who live by natural sight went in and saw the giants. They said, yeah, God's true. It is a good land. But you should see the problems. You should see the giants. You should take a look at really what the land's like. And they came back with a bad report. And they never entered the promised land. Because they imagined themselves being defeated. We are a Joshua and Caleb church who believe before we see. God gave us a promise when we started this church that He would raise up an exceedingly great army. And from the moment He said it, it's written in my heart. And I've had weather. I've had graffiti. But somehow God has kept the dream alive on the inside of me. And I have not stopped believing that what God has said He's going to do. And I know that there is going to be an exceedingly great army. I know the future. Part of the plan is that. But we just got to get basic now and say He's got a good plan. And it's planned to do you good. Let's start with one promise that can change your future if you will do a Walt and a Joshua and Caleb, not an Art and the unbelieving spies. Be careful how you see what you see. Be careful you don't feel and say that must be. Live by faith in what God has said, and you will then enter into all He has promised. I've nearly finished, you'll be thrilled to know. But God hasn't finished putting this in your heart. And I trust you will empower your faith by saying it and praying it until you see it. And hopefully next week you'll be more happy. I know that it's not that we don't have trials and troubles and sadness and grief. We know that. And there's a time to grieve. But believing fills you with a joy and peace that is supernatural. It's not human emotion, it's God. And that changes. Changes your well-being, actually. Faith is good for you. It actually does you good to believe in what God has promised us. Now, God gives a few instructions, and I'm going to run through this. It's interesting that He gives a promise to us, but He's also got things for us to do. Because you and I could just say, oh, well, let's just empower and say it and pray it until I see it. And let's lie back until we see something happen. And God actually speaks to in the context of this verse and this promise, he speaks and he gives them certain action steps to take. They're not to sit around and do nothing. Really interesting, because passive faith isn't really faith. It's we need faith and obedience, the obedience of faith. And so when God says something, often it's connected to something that we are to do, to act. Jesus actually said, take up your mat and walk. So in other words, do something with what I'm saying I'm going to do. Do something in that context. But in these this situation of doing us good, he gives us four things. I've picked out four. You might be able to find more, but I thought this was a simple way of doing it. He says, come and seek me. You'll find me if you seek me with all your heart. Come and pray. The first thing I think is that when we want the plans of God and we want the dreams of God, we do this in faith, believing they're going to be good. But we don't go and seek the plan. We go and seek him. Because sometimes when you're seeking the plan, you can actually be deceived and led astray. But if you seek Jesus and come to his word and say, Lord, I'm looking to you. I'm seeking you. I want you to be first in my life. Isn't he first to be, to seek his kingdom first? And then he says that all these things will be added. And so our hearts need to be focused on looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Looking to Jesus, because he will bring faith on the inside for his plans to prosper us, to give us a hope and a future. Then he also says, build houses, settle down, plant gardens and eat their fruit. And he says, don't be diminished, grow. He actually asks for a commitment to the place you're called to be in. Don't just visit. God once gave me a word about, how Christians can be. They live with their suitcase at the ready for the next place where they hope it's going to be better. Whether it's the church, whether it's a job, they're always saying, I just want to pack up and leave. And God says, actually, those who are planted flourish. Those who settle and commit to building the family of faith. That means your own personal family, but also God's family. To be building godly family life and individual lives. To plant, in other words, to sow and reap, to actually live, to grow and be fruitful. That's the second step, to actually commit, build, plant, be established where you're called to be. Fruitless Christians are like trees whose roots aren't down. They're there, but they're not in. And God says, the only way you're going to produce fruit is by being fully committed to the place and the people I've called you to be with. I didn't say it, he did. Planted, rooted, committed, belonging to each other, being part of a covenant people. That's what God has for you and for me. Then he says, interestingly, there are lots of false prophets in your midst. Don't listen to them. And Jesus spoke, and Paul speaks in the end times, that many false prophets are going to come to lead people astray. And often they speak what people want to hear. They appeal to the flesh, but they don't speak what I'm saying. They appeal to, you need to get out of this situation. You need to go. You need to move. You need to make some changes. God has an incredible vision for your life. And I found the incredible vision he has for my life, which I've not yet seen, is connected to the incredible vision he has for us. My vision isn't going to work out without ours together, because that's how he's called us to live. With an umbrella promise over the body, but with individual personal vision that he has for us in the context of the local church. And there are people that want to take people out, who call themselves prophets, speaking from God, but they're not. And that's why you need to know who your shepherds are. Pastors are called shepherds of the sheep, of the flock. I'm here to protect from wolves. I've actually done that on numerous occasions. You wouldn't even know about it, but I have invited people to leave because they have brought in false, not true. And so God has given shepherds, and I trust that after all these years, you can trust God through us. Because the proof of the pudding is in the eating, or by their fruit, Jesus said, you'll know them. You might not always like what I have to say, but not everybody likes what God says. But I trust I'll be true, and I trust we will, Pastor Andrew and I will be shepherding under his leadership and his governing power in truth. So don't listen to the fake. Don't listen to those who want to bring false hope. But this is the true hope. I've got plans for you, plans to prosper you, not harm you, to give you a hope and a future. But seek me, settle, build, plant, grow. Don't listen to fake. And also, he says, for me, this is so the rounded counsel of God in this scripture. He actually says, seek the peace of the city to where I have carried you, and pray to the Lord for it, because in its peace you will have peace. Another translation says, seek the welfare of the place. Don't just live for you. Live for the benefit of those who don't yet know Jesus. Now we need all of us to see what that looks like from God's perspective. How do we individually seek the welfare of those who live around us? How do we do that? Well, God's dream, if you're open, he'll put it in your heart. Things that will actually be doing people good in Jesus' name. Doing people good in Jesus' name. Not just doing people good, but in his name, representing his power, his will, and his kingdom, but also the gospel of Jesus Christ. So these four steps in the unfolding plan to do you good. Take action. Don't live to do nothing. Don't coast. Don't say, oh, I just wait for that plan to happen, Lord. Let's just sit and meditate. It's not like that. It's not New Age. It's supernatural, powerful dreams and visions and promises from God and real practical steps to live out his dream for the world. Didn't Jesus always have a dream? Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. That's all connected to God's dream. And God says, in its welfare, you will experience welfare. In its peace, you will experience peace. In its prosperity, you will experience prosperity. Interesting. Our wholeness, well-being is connected to giving what we have freely received. Jesus said, go and freely give it. Give it out, pour it out on the lives, men, women, and children out there who Jesus wants to do good through you. What a dream. This is God's dream. I love it for us, and I also love it for them. I love it that it's not based in selfishness, But it's based in truth. That it isn't just about me or you, but it is. It's about the whole word of salvation. Everything Jesus died 2,000 years ago to pay for this plan has already been given. May you reimagine in the coming days your life according to this promise. Your family according to this promise. Your work according to this promise. May you reimagine in a hopeless situation that realists will say, I can't see how you're going to get out of that. God saying, I've got a plan. And it's looking good from my perspective. You just need to see it. And most of all, as that plan begins to write on your heart and you begin to have a Joshua Caleb Walt perspective, I pray that you won't just sit and wait for it to happen, but you'll walk out your life seeking Jesus. Building, planting, growing. Not listening to the fake. And looking out to bring others the blessing of Jesus around you. What a complete dream. I can imagine the Father and the Son almost looking at this barren field of the world going, Son, it's looking good in the end. I can see them. They're going to be part of what they call Kingdom Faith Church, but they're mine. And I can see the plans because of what you do. It's actually they're going to live in wholeness and well-being with hope and a future. And they're going to bring the hope of Jesus to their world. God's dream. Let's live in it. Shall we stand? Thank you, Jesus.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.